It's Revibin' time, and it's episode 6 of Revibin' KC. We share tips about renovating homes in Kansas City, one great home, one jamming neighborhood vibe at a time. On today's show, we have guests from Habitat for Humanity. Habitat for Humanity is an organization whose goal is to make change in neighborhoods, communities, and the lives of people in those communities. We have Lindsay Hicks, the Development and Outreach Director, and Eddie Tapper, the Director of Construction. Hi, Lindsay and Eddie. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us.
Can you introduce yourselves for our audience?
Sure. So my name is Lindsay Hicks, and I'm the Development and Outreach Director at Habitat for Humanity of Kansas City. So basically, I oversee all of our key sponsorships and all of our outreach for the organization.
And my name is Eddie Tapper. I'm the Director of Construction for Habitat for Humanity Kansas City.
Thanks. Lindsay, I'd like to know, what is the mission for Habitat for Humanity?
Sure. So Habitat for Humanity partners with people from all walks of life to build homes, community, and hope. And we do that specifically right here in Kansas City on the Missouri side.
Are there many branches around the country?
Yeah, there's more than 1,500 affiliates worldwide that build homes and rehab homes for families.
What made you get interested in working with Habitat for Humanity?
That is a great question. My first experience with Habitat for Humanity was roofing a house in Lawrence, Kansas, where I went to college. And so I was always familiar with the organization and always was really passionate about the work that they did. About 4 years ago, I saw that there was a job out there that fit my passion and kind of followed that. And since then, I have been committed to our families and building and rehabbing homes for them. So it's been a pretty awesome experience.
When you're working with Habitat for Humanity, how do you match people with the homes? Are there application requirements? What is that like?
Yeah, great question. So our homeownership program, there are requirements to be accepted into the program. So the first thing, if you're interested in owning a home, is to attend a homeowner information session. And those are held at our office at Linwood and Paseo. And we go through all of the homeownership program requirements. So depending on how many people are in your family, you have to fall within a certain income range. You have to have less than $1,000 in credit card collections debt. You have to be willing to partner with us and complete 280 hours of sweat equity. So building your own house, and then the other 35 hours of that are homeowner education classes. So be committed to those and then turn in your $1,200, which is a down payment on your home.
Oh, okay.
So the first step is to attend that homeowner information session, though, and you can get more information on those at habitatkc.org.
All right, thanks. So, Eddie, I don't want to forget you over here. How did you get involved with Habitat for Humanity?
Oh, about 12 years ago, I was a board member with Habitat for Humanity, and my main profession was architecture, and had the opportunity to work with Habitat at that time as a construction manager. Did that for about 2 years, and then just this last year came back and doing it again.
With you guys, your experiences are slightly different. Lindsay, you came in as a volunteer, and Eddie, you came in as somebody who was working construction in the first place.
Right.
What kind of impact has that had on your lives? I mean, you could have done anything anyplace else. So why Habitat for Humanity?
I think for me, it was a huge part of it was getting to know a whole nother part of the city that I live in and getting a better understanding for the area that we build in. Also, the personal connection with the families and seeing their dedication to owning a home and providing a better financial future for their families. To me, that is so motivating. And especially when you learn the background of these families and you learn their stories, you can't help but want to be 110% by their side, helping them fulfill this dream of homeownership.
And how about you, Eddie?
Well, being previously a board member, I saw the impact that Habitat had, and just from that, from being part of it at that level, I really just gained a huge belief in the organization as a whole. I found that Habitat is probably the most stable and impactful community development organization here in Kansas City. And I've also seen just the impact that a new or redeveloped house has on a family and what it does to the community, too.
Right. I have to say that I've seen that myself as a volunteer for Habitat for Humanity. a couple weeks ago, I wasn't volunteering. I was checking out the house that I was volunteering on, and Eddie was mowing the lawn. He had finished mowing the lawn on one of the Habitat houses, and he was already into the other neighbors' houses' lawns. And he had grass all over his face. But the whole neighborhood was active and participating. You know, kids were on the block throwing a football. The neighbors were on the porch saying hi. So when you have that kind of activity, from what I've seen, just in the short time that I've been with Habitat for Humanity, you really do see a change in an engagement in the neighborhood. And I think that's great. And I hope that's a model that we can just keep perpetuating. Is that what you guys try to do then?
Well, one of the first things that at least the construction side of Habitat is, as we're looking for houses, is we involve the neighborhoods, we involve the neighbors in block by block. So we get to know individual neighbors, what their needs are. And so by the time that we come out to work on a house near them, we know their names, we know their kids, and you know we're able to, you know, if we're cutting the lawn, we're happy to cut next door if they don't have a lawnmower. It's about the community engagement.
Yeah, I think to piggyback on that, the key word in our mission is community. We're not just committed to building a house or rehabbing one house. We're committed to building up communities in their entirety, and that's what will make a difference in the areas that we build in.
Now that when you do have a homeowner and they have begun to fulfill those requirements for getting a house, what are some of the things that Habitat for Humanity has to do to get that house and start on it?
So like I said, one of the first things that we do is we really engage with the neighborhood and find out where in that neighborhood we can make the biggest impact. From there, we do a lot of times from those discussions with neighborhood leaders and just neighbors, we'll find some specific locations, lots or houses that need some work. And at that point, we do a full inspection of the entire house. We look at it structurally, any environmental issues, any of the things that could have an impact on the overall cost of the redevelopment.
So are you the person that would be doing this, you and others?
I kind of lead the effort, but I've got a great staff who also help in it.
Is there any preliminary work, for example, finding out information from the land bank that happens before you get these houses?
It depends on where the house is coming from. We work very closely with the city, so some of our houses come from the land bank. And that's a little bit of a process, as a lot of your listeners, I know you've covered some of those stories before, that they're aware of. It takes a few months, and you need to show the capacity. So the city's been a great partner with us in acquiring the land bank houses. And then, of course, you've got a lot of the different things. I mean, it's as simple as construction is, sometimes the minutia sometimes gets complicated when you're looking at chains of title and liens and those type of things.
Yeah, I think we're learning more and more how important title searches are. And I've been hearing how averse banks are towards dealing with homes that don't have a clear title search. I'm still finding out about that, but that is somewhat of a surprise, and I don't think most new homeowners know about that part of it, that the title search is so important. So are you guys then able to take care of all that? You must be able to take care of all that beforehand so that when the new owner comes in, that part is clear.
Absolutely. If it appears that we're not going to be able to get a clean title on the house, we'll probably skip it. Mm. We work with a few different law firms who donate their time to us to help us really dig into some of the issues, because a lot of times if these houses are vacant, they're vacant for a reason, that there's a complex title history, or there's something out there that somebody else hasn't come in and renovated the house already.
You bring together all your efforts to find the house, talk to the neighbors. Do you work much with the neighborhood, the communities and the neighborhood organizations? What kinds of information do they give to you?
The neighborhood organizations are kind of our eyes and ears in the neighborhood. A lot of the residents have been there, you know, sometimes 30 to 50 years. Mm-hmm. So they know what is really happening in the neighborhood. So a lot of times that's our primary source of information on what's really happening at a block, because we can drive through and you know, take a look at it a couple times in the week, you know, during the day, during the night, but we really don't have a grasp mm-hmm. on what the block is like. That's why we really connect with the neighbors.
So that it does take that going through a neighborhood. If you're a renovator, you want to go through a neighborhood, drive through during the day and the night, sometimes is what I've heard, and check out what kind of activity is happening around that neighborhood, as well as talk to people in the neighborhood, because it is an imposition to just show up and start, you know, looking around without touching base with people in the neighborhood.
Absolutely. And that's one. We've got some folks who specialize in community involvement and habitat.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times we've been in the neighborhood, you know, a year or more, connecting with people and meeting the neighbors on both sides, because we found that is, you know, so important, because I've at night, on weekends, I'll receive a call and say, hey, that looks like somebody may be looking at your house. And it's just that first warning, and it's just neighbors watching out for neighbors.
Well, I think from another neighborhood perspective is now you're seeing a lot of your neighborhoods come together and form coalitions. So it's not just one particular neighborhood watching out for their neighborhood. It's this whole community of neighborhoods coming together. And when they do that, it's impactful for us because we have a better understanding of who's working in what areas, so we can make a bigger impact, and we can each have, as agencies, these target areas that we're focusing on, so that it's more of a widespread effort to really clean up that area.
So that helps you to identify who to partner with, as well as to find out what's going on in the different neighborhoods. So how many neighborhoods would you say you guys have renovated or built new homes in? Can you say that? Or how many homes have you done?
We have done more than 315 homes in Kansas City since our founding in 1979, and that does not include our minor repair program. So if you added our minor repair program in, you're looking at upwards of 400 houses and homes that we've impacted. So we've probably worked in about 12 to 14 different neighborhoods throughout our existence.
Okay.
I think Lindsay hit on a really important subject, and that is the partnering. Habitat has been able to, year after year, find partners, and we've been able to leverage our resources with those of the city of Kansas City, Missouri, different for-profit, non-profit partners. And so when we really start to work on a block, it's not just us. It's not just the neighborhood. It's funds and people from a lot of different parts of the city coming in to make that block great.
Do you find that those partners are willing to invest in some of the other efforts in the neighborhood besides the efforts that are happening with Habitat for Humanity as well?
Absolutely. I think a lot of our sponsors who are committed to these full houses have seen that one house is one house, but there's other needs that need to be addressed. And once you have them there and active and volunteering, they want to be a part of the bigger picture. And that's one of the amazing things that comes out of partnering with these sponsors.
Speaking of the bigger picture, do you partner with organizations that are also interested in digital inclusion and how to bring that piece into the neighborhoods as well as into the community centers and libraries?
Yeah, I think that there's definitely a concentrated effort towards the digital divide, if you will, right now. And we're actively seeking partnerships. I know we've worked with Google Fiber and a couple of others to help increase your accessibility to high-speed internet and things of that nature in the area that we're building.
All of this helps to attract homeowners to the communities. And when you're attracting homeowners who are committed to maintaining the neighborhood, what good things happen when you start having good neighborhoods that you've seen?
Yeah, I think when one neighbor chooses to make their house look beautiful on the outside and to maintain it and to keep its integrity, then everyone else wants to be a part of that effort. And it really is one house can impact the entire block, and then the entire block can impact that entire neighborhood. And so when you see that, it's a pretty awesome thing.
Do you think that schools could be impacted by neighborhoods improving themselves?
Hopefully. I mean, the Kansas City, Missouri School District has its own issues, and I think a lot of very smart people are working to try and resolve those issues. We see that our families need to have a strong school system and a support network that goes along with that.
And, you know, the other thing that goes with that is while we are working on building up that school system, there are amazing nonprofits out there like Show Me KC Schools that can be such a great resource for these families to find the right school for their children, whether it be charter or whatever those options are. They'll actually go through the options for schooling with you. So those resources being out there shows that there is a concentrated effort towards education.
Lindsay, can you tell me more about the volunteer process? I noticed that there are individuals who volunteer as well as companies. How do you guys set that up in the office?
We are fortunate that we have all kinds of volunteers. We have individuals that come out. We've had some individual volunteers who have been coming out with us, who have been volunteering with us for 35 years since our founding. And we find that they are now our team leads. They're the ones who are leading these larger volunteer groups that come from more corporate or business settings. So we love our volunteers. We have no guidelines in terms of skill set. So really anyone can join us out on site. If you're interested, again, just visit habitatkc.org.
And Marvita, I think you've seen yourself that some of our volunteers who come out are getting ready to start their own project themselves. Either it's a full renovation of their house or a bathroom renovation, or maybe it's just changing something plumbing. That's the great thing about Habitat, is that you can come out to Habitat, work with our skilled supervisors, and if you've got a question even about your own house, we're happy to help out. And you learn the process before you have to take it back to your own house.
Yeah, there's something to be said for that. Well, and got to give a shout out to the Tusi crew. That's Margot, Mary Sue, and Terry. They all help to make this stuff happen. It's when you work in a team, it just makes it that much easier.
I have gotten great reports from the supervisors about your work.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. From what I see, though, the volunteers really enjoy it. How do people find out about the volunteering process?
Yeah, to find out about the volunteering process, again, just visit habitatkc.org, or you can call our offices at 816-924-1096 and ask for Dana. She's our volunteer director, and she can provide the information to get you signed up for a volunteer orientation. And then from there, you'll be out on site or volunteering in our ReStores to give back to Habitat and the community.
And what is the ReStore?
Our ReStores are amazing. If you are rehabbing a home or if you're doing any kind of home improvement or Pinterest project, it's a Pinterest dream, that's where we sell new and used building materials to the public. And then all the revenue from our stores then helps us build and rehab homes for our Habitat KC families.
How do you get those materials that you sell and ReStore?
We're really fortunate that materials are donated from the public and also from larger corporate entities. So they're all donations that are in our stores that we sell to the public.
Oh, that's great. So if I need some old-time windows, would I want to go to Habitat for Humanity for that?
Absolutely. We have tons of windows. We have tons of doors. We have everything that you would find at Home Depot, pretty much. It's just at a discounted rate.
Mm-hmm. And also, if you're renovating a midtown home, then a lot of times those houses are 80 to 100 years old. It's awfully difficult to find a replacement stash at Home Depot. Habitat ReStore is the place you need to go.
I see. Are there certain requirements for building that you have to be aware of, as for windows, for example? I mean, even though some of these homes are historic, is there a way to preserve those windows that have those heavy weights attached to them?
Sure.
How do you call those windows?
Absolutely, the weighted window sashes.
The weighted windows. Would someone want to keep a weighted window?
For me, I live in a 100-year-old house myself, and I love it. There is just something to be said for materials that are old growth hardwoods and just the craftsmanship that went into those houses. As far as, I think you kind of alluded to the energy efficiency. That you need to worry about. Mm-hmm. Well, they found actually that if you have a single glazed window and then you put a storm window on it, it's almost as good as having a double pane window.
Oh.
So you have that old world charm. And still are able to be energy efficient.
And will they pass an inspection with that then?
It is so important for anybody who's doing a renovation to work with the city of Kansas City, Missouri, figure out what sort of permits you need, and from there, what sort of inspections you'll have. both the inspectors and the reviewers down at the city are fantastic. They'll work with you. They want you to have a safe house for the renovation.
So I'm hearing two things. Okay, one for renovators. If you want to renovate a house, make sure you have a clear title search. Mm-hmm. And then make sure you get your permits in order when you're starting things out.
You've hit a couple of the big ones.
Okay.
A lot of times it's experience. It's understanding what it's really going to take to renovate a house. And that's what Habitat's great for. Come on out and we'll help you figure that out for your own house. Because there's scheduling issues, budgeting issues, environmental issues that you have to be aware of if you're renovating inside your house.
What's another environmental issue that people have to be aware of?
Lead paint becomes an issue, but also some other things like asbestos and just the different types of asbestos, whether it's friable or non-friable, and what impact those are and who you need to have to remove that from your house, because depending on what type it is, you need a different expertise and a professional to do that. It's a little more complex sometimes than it seems, but you have the right people involved, and it becomes at least a smoother process that is more economical and will maintain your not only your budget but also your schedule.
All right. Can you remind us of what are the types of things that an applicant would need to do?
Sure. So again, the first thing you would want to do is attend a homeowner information session. And those are held at our offices at Linwood and Paseo. That's where Tiffany Harris, she's our Family Services Director, will go through the program thoroughly with you, give you an understanding of what neighborhood we're building, and talk about the program itself and what your requirements are. And then after attending that session, if you feel like this is a good fit for you and your family, then you would fill out one of our applications. And then we would review your application, and then if you're accepted into the program, you're required to do those 280 hours of sweat equity. So building your house and then also completing 35 hours of homeowner education.
How does a homeowner and a house come together?
Great question. So a homeowner and a house, how do they come together? Once a homeowner has completed half of their sweat equity hours, they can take a tour of the houses and properties that we have available, and they can select which house they want to be theirs. So as long as the house is available and not selected, they can secure that home, and then it's theirs once they complete their sweat equity hours and put their $1,200 down payment on their home. Then we sell the house to them at a 0% interest mortgage rate.
How long does that process usually take? Is that something that happens quickly, or does it take some time? Does it depend?
It depends. You know, every family is different. Every family's journey through our program is different. For some, it can take 6 months, and for others, it can take up to 2 years. It really just depends on what style of house they choose to select, how long it takes for the homeowner to complete their sweat equity hours, and just what the process looks like for them and how it works for their family.
And Eddie, how long does it typically take? What's some of the timelines for renovating a house from start to finish?
I think one of the houses you're working on, it's a three-story house, has a beautiful stone facade. It takes a little while to do the demo work. You know, that typically takes about a month. Mm-hmm. And once we have the demo work complete, then we can go in and really do a good scope of work. So we'll know exactly what the bones are, what type of structural repairs need to be made.
And do you want to go to the bones when you're dealing with those houses more often than not?
Depends on the house, once again. Mm-hmm. The houses that we receive from Land Bank, a lot of them have had water damage. So it makes good sense to go all the way to the studs on those houses. Other houses that we may get donated, or we may buy from an individual, you know, sometimes they don't need near that much demolition or renovation.
You deal with three types of housing situations then, and that would be the new housing, the renovations, and then the preventative maintenance. What about the new houses? How long does it normally take to build a new house?
It takes about 4 to 4.5 months to build a new house, and that's after you start on the dirt work. Actually, we're working on a house right now, and we're pretty excited that the excavator is going to be there. So we had to have it all staked out by our surveyor. So he'll be starting that, and then the concrete guy will be coming in. So that's kind of really the kickoff of the time frame. So from there, about 4.5 to 5 months.
I was telling someone about Habitat for Humanity and mentioning that I was working with them in a renovated home. They said, oh, I didn't know they did renovated homes. I thought they just did new homes. So is that something that's new for Habitat for Humanity, working in the renovated homes now?
Yeah. So a year ago, we looked at what we were doing to impact our neighborhoods. And what we noticed was that there are so many vacant houses in Kansas City. And we can't truly impact these neighborhoods if we don't address the vacant housing issue. So we met with Land Bank and other resources to try to understand, can we acquire these homes? Can we rehab them? And can we put families in them? And we found that, yes, we can. And we can, you know, do this block-by-block approach, address the vacancy, but also do the new builds and do the minor home repair to make sure that the whole block is completed. So we started doing that last year, and we did our first, it was a 3-story rehab, which was pretty incredible. And we finished that. And then this year we're taking on 4 rehab houses all on one block.
Okay. What about the preventative maintenance types of things? How do people find out about that?
Yeah, so that was...
Am I calling it the right thing?
Yeah, it's a homeowner just emergency or minor home repair.
Okay, home repair.
One of the things that we noticed was that these homeowners were having issues with minor home repairs that were needed at their homes. So we put together a program called the Home Preservation Program. And that's where we partner with any family, no matter if you're a Habitat homeowner or if you're just a family in the Boston Heights and Mount Hope neighborhood that we're working in right now, to help them with minor home repairs such as windows, siding, weatherization projects. And now we're actually looking at going into the interiors of homes as well to help with some projects there. So
another great thing about minor home repair is a lot of times with a minor home repair, you can resolve minor issues before they become major issues. Like if you have a roof leak before it gets to be out of control, then you can resolve the roof leak and just have some minor repairs inside the house, as opposed to an exponential cost if that just gets left alone.
I can see how that is something that people can get a lot from as well. Because when you see all these other houses and you kind of sit back and you feel like, man, I mean, I wish I could get some of that help too. So there is that help for those homeowners in the neighborhood. Is that an application process then?
Yep, that's an application process. And if you just visit our offices, we have that application on hand.
All right. Well, is there anything you guys would like to add to those renovators out there or to people who would like to apply for a Habitat for Humanity house or become a volunteer?
I think what I always tell people who are interested in becoming involved is just do it. You're never, ever going to regret taking that step to make a bigger impact in the city that you live in and to learn more about the families that we work with and to connect with them and to understand why this is important for their family. There's nothing more rewarding than working with the families that we get to work with every single day.
That's true.
Absolutely. And for those renovators that are out there, you're going to be putting up a sizable amount of dollars to renovate a house. And if you can walk into it knowing what the process is, knowing how to budget, how to schedule, all these little things that can throw you off, your opportunity for success is much higher.
Well, with those words, I will thank you very much for joining us on Reviving KC. Eddie Tapper, you're for helping supervise all the construction work, and Lindsay Hicks, thank you so much for coming out.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Lindsay, I just have to say I appreciate you coming in your final month
week.
Of pregnancy.
My final week.
Final week of pregnancy. I almost called her and said you don't have to come, but fortunately she did come. That really shows you how much she loves what she's doing. And thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
This is Radioactive Magazine. Thanks for listening on KKFI 90.1 FM.